In five, we'll deliver the sermon.
We thank the Lord for all of you who braved the storm to come to God's house for worship.
为着大家冒着风雪来到主的圣殿里面来敬拜，我们来感谢神。
It is only fair that I comment also that I thank the Lord for those who decide to stay home for safety reasons.
为了平衡报道，我们也感谢神，因为我们有些弟兄姐妹为了安全的原因，他们留在家里敬拜。
Everyone make decisions for different reasons.
我们每个人做不同的决定，有不同的原因。
But for those of us here, we come here to worship the Lord.
那我们相信我们今天早上来到这里的人，我们来的目的就是要敬拜神。
And maybe I'll begin with a question.
或许我先问大家一个问题。
And I actually like people, if you know the answer, you raise your hand.
那知道答案的人请举手。
We typically associate winter with December, January, and February.
我们想到冬天的时候，当然就会想到12月、1月、2月。
But on July 20th, 1969,
但是在1969年7月20号,
it was extremely cold.
那天很冷。
The question is, where was this place?
这个问题是好。 在世界上哪一个地方那一天很冷？
It is not in Australia, it is not in South America, it is not in Africa, it is not in the Antarctic.
不是在澳洲，不是在南美洲，不是在非洲，也不是在南极。
And the hint, of course, is the date, July 20th, 1969.
这个关键在那个日期，1969年。 7月20号
Anybody know?
大家知道答案吗?
Wow, quite a few raised their hand. Oh. Can you call out your answer?
请告诉我们答案.
On the moon, thank you.
Well, 这个答案是在月球上面很冷.
Because that was the day when Armstrong and his company landed Apollo 11 on the moon.
那一天是美国的太空人这个Armstrong跟他的队员在月球上面降落。
Needless to say, it was extremely cold, colder than any place on Earth.
我们都知道，在月球非常冷，比地球上面任何的地方都要冷。
And if we are old enough to watch the news at the time, or young enough to read history, and we remember that Armstrong made a very famous saying, it's a small step for a man or mankind, a giant step It's a small step for a man, it's one giant step for mankind.
我们年纪比较大的可能还记得在当时看到电视上面的经验，或者年轻人现在看到对当时的报道。这个Armstrong，这个太空人在降落的时候，他讲了一句话，这个是一个人，一个男人的一小步，但是是人类的一大步。
But few people realized that there was another historical event that took place there and then.
但是许多人可能不知道另外一个历史上面很重要的事件在同时在发生。
It was at that time Armstrong's companion, Buzz Aldrin, he took out from the spacecraft a special, special communion set prepared by his church.
他这个 Armstrong 里面的队员，这个 Buzz Aldrin， 在当时在太空船里面拿出了他的教会所替他准备的一个圣餐的一些器材。
And then Aldrin asked all the listeners on Earth to contemplate on this event and give thanks.
Aldrin 当时对世界上面的人就这样说，请大家跟他一起来思考这个重要的事情，来跟他一起来默想。
And then the TV communication stopped for a few minutes.
在电视的转播当时就停了几分钟。
Aldrin took out that communion set and poured the wine, and then took out the bread and had the first communion on the moon.
Aldrin 把饼跟酒拿出来，在月球上面领受了月球上面第一次的 圣餐。
I admire his courage to do that, and you can also see that in his mind, the most important thing is to worship the Lord.
我们非常尊敬 Aldrin 先生的敬虔，也我们也可以从他这个事情上面看到，什么事情对他来讲是最重要的，就是敬拜神。
And during that moment, it was later reported that he took out the Bible and read John 15:5.
按照记载，这个他自己领了圣餐以后，他把圣经拿出来念约翰福音第十五章第五节。
He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit.
约翰福音十五章第五节是这样说，我是葡萄树，你们是枝子，藏在我里面的，我也藏在他里面，他这人就多结果子。
To worship the Lord is to closely associate ourselves with him.
敬拜神是什么意义？就是我们跟主跟神有很密切的关联。
The passage we read this morning, Matthew 2, talk about kings or magi coming from the east to worship Jesus.
我们今天早上念的经文在马太福音记载的是说，在东方一些有智慧的人，或者是翻译叫做王或者是博士，要到耶路撒冷来，要到耶稣出生的地方来跟来拜见耶稣。
If you will please open to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1.
请翻开你的圣经到马太福音第二章第一节。
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem.
当希律王的时候，耶稣生在犹太的伯利恒，有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷。
I'm going to pause here and then ask you a second question.
好，我在这里停一下，问大家第二个问题。
And again, if you know the answer, you can raise your hand.
如果你知道答案，请举手。
How old was Jesus then?
这个事情发生的时候，耶稣有多大？
Anyone? Yes, somebody at the back.
哦，有人在后面，请说。
2 years old, thank you.
两岁，对，谢谢。
Oftentimes during the Christmas nativity scene,
在这个许多时候，在纪念这个耶稣降生的这个庆祝的场合。
And we'll have the baby Jesus was born, and then shepherds from the field came over.
我们常会看到一个婴孩，然后呢，这个牧羊人就到他的旁边来。
And then usually we'll portray three kings or three magi, traveling and bring gifts to Jesus.
然后旁边呢，就会有三个王或者是博士呢，拿着礼物来给耶稣。
But most Bible scholars recognize that there is a gap of almost 2 years between the shepherds and the three magi.
但是我们仔细研考圣经的话，圣经学者告诉我们是说，从牧羊人到去看耶稣，跟这个博士来拜见耶稣送礼物，中间大概有两年的时间。
And one clue about the 2 years can be found that King Herod tried to kill all the child boys for 2 years and younger.
其中一个线索就是后来希律王下了一个命令，要把犹太人两岁以下的男孩都杀死。
And then another hint, of course, is from the Gospel of Luke, when we talk about after Joseph and Mary finished all the temple rituals for Jesus, then they went back to Nazareth.
另外一个线索是在路加福音的记载，耶稣出生了以后，他的父亲约瑟跟玛利亚在圣殿里面完成了祭拜这个献祭的这些过程，然后呢回到那北方纳撒勒的这个地方。
So most likely when they started traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it was for the census, presumably it's a short travel and stay.
我们的估计，我们的考证是他们从纳撒勒到伯利恒是为了当时要报名上册，是一个很短的一个旅程。
But after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary changed their mind and decided to stay in Bethlehem longer time.
但是耶稣出生了以后呢，他们改变了主意，所以他们住在伯利恒比较久的时间。
And it was when Jesus became two, then the Magi came from the east.
然后到耶稣两岁的时候呢，这个东方来的博士就来拜见耶稣。
In the Bible, we talk about from the East, and we, as Chinese, sometimes we say that, hey, perhaps those are Chinese from all the way China.
因为这里说是东方，那我们华人是东方人，所以有的人就说，这个搞不好是中国人，从这个东方来拜见耶稣。
I think that's a possibility.
这个是有可能。
But not very likely.
不是很有可能。
Based on the culture at that time, most likely those are from Persia or what modern day Iran.
按照当时的风俗跟文化，圣经学者的考据呢，这些人大概是从当时的波斯，就是现在的伊朗来的有智慧的人。
And if we think about this, it's rather ironic.
我们再深一点想的话，这个其实是很讽刺的一个事情。
The place where Jesus was born and then the Magi came from are today in the Muslim world.
耶稣出生的地方，这些博士来的地方，在二十一世纪的今天是回教势力的所在。
And even places in between, like Turkey, in the first century, those are Christian occupied places.
就他们附近的地方，像今天的土耳其，在公元一世纪的时候都是基督化的地方。
But the world has changed so much that I wonder how many.Worship our Lord Jesus Christ at this time in those places.
但是世界变化了许多，在今天我们不晓得在当地有多少人还在庆祝圣诞节，庆祝耶稣的降生。
If the Magi did not come from China, perhaps we as Chinese must have this call to bring the gospel to that place and so that they will worship our Lord Jesus Christ.
虽然这些博士不一定是从中国来，但是我们二十一世纪的中国人，我们华人或许也应该有这样的负担，把这个福音带回到耶稣的出生地。
If it was indeed Persia, it would have taken the Magi several months to travel to Bethlehem.
如果那些博士是从波斯来的话，从波斯到伯利恒大概旅途是好几个月的时间。
It was a long journey that they took and they prepared well in order to arrive in Jerusalem.
是一个很长的旅程，但是他们准备得很充分，使得他们来到耶路撒冷的时候呢，他们有很好的装备。
They did it for one reason and one reason only.
他们来到耶路撒冷只有唯一的原因。
It's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ.
就是要敬拜主耶稣基督。
How much are we willing to sacrifice in order to worship Him?
为了要敬拜主耶稣基督，我们愿意摆上多大的奉献跟牺牲
？Do we just worship Him out of convenience?
我们只是很在方便的时候来敬拜神吗
？Or are we willing to go out of our way?To worship him.
还是说我们愿意承担一些后果，我们改变我们一些方便的生活方式来敬拜主。
The Magi went out of the way to worship him.
这些博士基本上是经过了很长的一个旅程，是不方便的一个过程来敬拜神。
Of course, the Magi, by their profession, probably often watched the stars and looked for special signs.
这些博士因为他们受的特殊的训练，他们大概常常要看着星星来观察有什么异象。
Perhaps they have been anticipating about this special event.
他们或许是在期待这样一个特殊的一个事件。
Modern scholars debate about whether there was indeed a special celestial phenomena that led the Magi to Bethlehem.
现在的学者还在研究，还在辩论，就是说，在当时是否真正是有一些天文学这个天象的一些特殊的一个现象。
One explanation was that Jupiter aligned with Saturn and with another a star, then it makes it so bright that the Magi follow that star to come to Bethlehem.
那其中一个解释就是说，九大行星之一木星。
木星跟土星，
木星跟土星连在一条线上，所以呢就看起来特别亮， 这个博士呢就就看到这个很亮的这个这些现象呢，然后就去找到耶稣。
So sometimes if you go into planetarium during Christmas time, you have special program. They talk about the star of Bethlehem and what is it a possible explanation.
所以如果在圣诞节的时候我们去这个天文馆，那一些展示呢就是会说明，就是说在当时是不是有一些这样的天象会发生，使得呢有一颗星看起来特别亮。
Another explanation possibly it is extraordinary.
另外一个解释就是说，这个是一个很超自然的一个现象。
Meaning that it is not because of certain stars aligned together.
不是一个星星一个自然的连在一起。
God bring out a special star so bright that led the Magi to Bethlehem.
神特别安排在自然的定律以外，带来了一颗很亮的星，带领这些博士来到伯利恒。
That is yet a third.Explanation.
还有第三个解释。
The third explanation is to say that that star is not a physical star.
这个第三个解释是说，这个星不是一个物质上面看到的星。
In the Old Testament, oftentimes star represents angel.
在旧约里面，许多的地方用星来代表天使。
And we know, of course, that famous passage in Isaiah that.The morning star rebel against God.
我们都知道在以赛亚书里面谈到天晨的星跟上帝来对抗。
And that star, his name, or that angel's name is called Lucifer.
那一个天使的名字就是 Lucifer.
What does Lucifer mean?
Lucifer 的意思是什么呢？
Anyone know?Meaning light.
Lucifer 的意思是光或者是亮的意思。
That's the same root as the company Lucent Technology.
这个字的原因这个字的根就是一个公司叫做 Lucent. 这个公司取这个名字就是有这样的背景。
Lucent split out from AT&T, they work on fiber optics, transmission of light.
这个Lucent 公司从 AT&T 分开以后做的研究就是这个光纤的这个研究，所以是跟光有关系的。
So Lucifer means light.
所以 Lucifer 的意思是光。
So possibly it was an angel symbolized by the star who led the Magi to Bethlehem.
所以很有可能是一个天使在这里记载是一个星。带领这些博士到伯利恒来。
Personally, I think the third explanation is the most plausible.
我个人觉得第三个解释是最有可能的解释。
Especially in verse 12, if you look into your Bible.
特别是在十二节。
In verse 12, it says that let me find that verse there. Yep. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they, the Magi, returned to their country by another route.
马太福音的第二章第十二节是这样说，博士因为在梦中被主指示不要回去见希律，就从别的路回本地去了。
So it was a spiritual being, an angel, who led them to Bethlehem, and it was another spiritual experience,in a dream that told them not to return to King Herod.
所以很有可能是一个属灵的一个星，一个天使带领他们到东方来，带领他们到伯利恒来，也同样的一个超自然的一个属灵的一个经验，带领他们从别的地方回去，不要回去见希律。
We cannot say for sure that star, but we can say for sure when theywere led not to go back to Herod, it was a supernatural experience.
有关这个星是一个自然的现象或者是超自然的现象，我们没有定论。但是很确定的就是这一段经文所记载的，他们回去不要见到希律，确实是一个超自然的属灵的经验。
If we may draw a lesson from that, it is for those who want to worship the Lord, oftentimes there is supernatural guidance.In us.
我们从中间可以学到什么功课呢？其中一个我们学到的可能是，我们来到主的面前，许多时候是有一些超自然的带领，使得我们有这样的经验。
This supernatural guidance sometimes would appear as if natural, but oftentimes it is supernatural.
这些超自然的带领看起来好像是个自然的现象，但是我们仔细去思考的话，确实一个超自然，一个特别的一些安排。
I think as Christians, if we can only believe in natural guidance, I think it is very pitiful for us.
如果身为基督徒，我们只相信自然的这些带领我们其实是很可悲的一个状况。
From this passage, us as Christians, especially those who worship the Lord, we will experience supernatural guidance.
从这一段的经文，我们可以来学到，我们顺服主的带领，我们跟随主，我们会体会到超自然的带领跟现象。
It is something that we can count on.
这是我们确定会发生的。
So the Magi came to worship the King of the Jews.
所以这些博士来到这里，要来拜犹太人之王。
And the Bible says, verse 2, it says, they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.
那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的星，特来拜他。
Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him.
第三节，叙利王听见了，就心里不安；耶路撒冷合成的人也都不安。
Why was King Herod disturbed?
为什么叙利王就心里不安呢？
And the normal explanation is he is the king of the Jews, or he was the king of the Jews, and now somebody else is looking for another king of the Jews.
那其中一个解释是在当时在世界上面，他是犹太人的王。那现在有人来找另外一个犹太人的王。
Historically, we recognize that King Herod was endorsed by the Roman governor or Roman emperor.
在历史上面的考据，希律王是罗马皇帝所任命的。
But he did it not without his own fighting.
但是他也不是没有经过一番的征战跟流血。
At the time in Palestine, it was oftentimes at war with Anatolia, which is the modern-day Turkey.
在当时的巴勒斯坦地方，其实有许多的战争是跟北边的一些民族有一些征战。
And at the time, King Herod wanted to secure his power in Palestine, and so he went and asked for help from the Roman Emperor, and they came and supported him to defeat the Anatolia Emperor.
所以在当时希律王在受到北方的民族的攻击的时候，他是跟罗马王帝来求救的，所以罗马王帝派兵帮助他打败北方的民族。
So King Herod has a strong connection or liaison with the Roman Emperor.
所以从这个角度来看，希律王跟罗马王帝有很密切的关系。
So if his kingdom is ever going to be attacked, it's not going to be from the west.
如果他的国家是要被攻击的话，他对于西方这边应该是很安心，因为罗马是在西方。
The attack is going to come from the east, and the Magi came from the east.
如果有人要攻击在当时这个国家的话，这个攻击一定是这个外患一定是从东方而来。那这些博士呢，是从东方来的。
So King Herod probably felt that he is not secure.
希律王听到这样的一个故事，听到的一个这样的像这个情况，一定觉得不太安全。
But the Bible did not stop there. It says, verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
在圣经里面的记载，不只是希律王不安，耶路撒冷合成的人也都不安。
Bible scholars not sure whether all Jerusalem refer to all the people or some of the leaders of Jerusalem.
圣经学者对于这一段的解释不晓得是真的是整个耶路撒冷的城的人都不安，还是耶路撒冷的领袖 都感觉不安。
But the least we can say is those leaders in Jerusalem, they were disturbed just like King Herod was.
但是可以猜想的，在耶路撒冷的领袖，民间的这个领袖，大概跟希律王一样，都心里不安。
So it is one same news,
同样的一个消息。
But they are very different response.
有不同的反应。
The Magi were so excited, and they were willing to travel several months at least to come and worship the king.
这些博士非常的兴奋，他们准备自己要花好几个月的时间来到伯利恒来拜见这个王。
But King Herod and perhaps the leaders of Jerusalem, they felt threatened.
但是呢，希律王跟耶路撒冷的领袖觉得他们受到他们受到攻击，他们受到威胁。
So an event in and of itself sometimes can be neutral.
我们看世界上面的一些事件可能是中性的。
But our reaction, our response to it determine how we see, perceive that particular event.
但是我们的反应，我们对那个事件的反应，来就可以让我们晓得我们对那个事件的看法。
And when an event is extremely good news, like Jesus was born,
如果这个事情是一个非常好的消息，就像耶稣降生一样。
To the opposition, it is extremely bad news.
但是在同样的一个事件，对一些人来讲是非常非常坏的消息。
Again, depending on how we look at Jesus Christ.
这个关键就是说，我们对耶稣基督的定位，我们怎么看主耶稣基督。
And that was the reason when Jesus was on earth, it was said that many he became the stumbling stone, and many fell because of him.
所以圣经里面也是这样记载，这个耶稣一方面是房角石，一方面对于许多人来讲也是绊脚石。
And you remember that Peter and many of the disciples deserted Jesus.
我们也记得在一段的时间，彼得跟耶稣的使徒都离弃了耶稣。
Of course, after the Holy Spirit came, and then they were transformed.
当然，我们从圣经的记载看到圣灵降临以后这些门徒都被转变了。
I know of a very dedicated Christian many years ago.
我认识一个非常热心的基督徒。
He served as a deacon at one time.
他曾经在一个教会做执事。
And later on, the family moved to another place.
后来这个家庭搬到另外一个地方去。
The husband slowly turned away from Jesus Christ.
这个先生呢，慢慢离开了主耶稣基督。
And the husband even had a mistress, and later on discovered by the wife and the children.
这个先生在婚姻以外发生了另外一段关系，后来被这个太太所发现。
Needless to say, it was the wife and the three children were traumatized.
不用太。很明显的，我们都可以想象，这个太太跟三个小孩受到很多的创伤。
It was the wife who shared that with me, and of course asked me to keep it confidential without disclosing any particular.
那当然是这位姐妹，这位太太跟我告诉我这个情况，当然也请求我不要把细节跟大家说明。
But she said about the husband making one comment.
这个，但是他我可以跟大家分享的是，他的先生曾经说了这样一句话。
He said the biggest curse in my life is to know Jesus Christ.
他的先生是这样说：我生命里面最大的咒诅是认识主耶稣基督。
Because it was as if now he got bound by what he believed in.
他感觉上是说他受到这个信仰许多的捆锁。
I can sense.The kind of contradiction in him.
我可以在他的这样说法里面看到他所感觉到的冲突。
I can only pray for him and the family.
我唯一可以做的就是为他祷告，为他的家庭祷告。
But are there some among us who feel perhaps in a different degree like this man?
或许我们中间有的人是有类似这样的感觉，可能没有那么强烈，但是有类似的一些的想法。
Is knowing Jesus Christ the biggest blessing in your life or the biggest curse in your life?
认识主耶稣基督是你生命里面最大的祝福还是最大的咒诅？
Or slowly it became irrelevant?
还是慢慢变得都不重要？
To Herod and all Jerusalem, the leaders, it was a big threat.
对于希律王跟耶路撒冷合城的人或者耶路撒冷的领袖，这是个很大的一个威胁。
But to the Magi, it was the biggest good news.
但是对于东方来的博士，确实是一个最好的消息。
So they came and then later on found Jesus Christ and worshiped him.
所以他们来到伯利恒，找到主耶稣基督来敬拜他。
And offered to Jesus Christ the gift they brought from afar.
他们从远方带来很宝贵的礼物。
And we all know that they brought with them gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
我们都很熟悉了，他们带的礼物是黄金、乳香跟没药。
And gold symbolized the most precious stone, precious metal in the world.
黄金代表的是最宝贵的金属。
And frankincense is one kind of scent provide a very pleasing odor for use like a perfume.
乳香就是像香水，今天用的香水一样，是会带来很馨香的味道。
It is from the resin of some particular trees.
是从一些特别的植物里面提炼出来的。
And myrrh, the third thing, is also extracted from trees.
摩药也是从植物里面提炼出来。
Mostly in Arabia and India.
主要是从亚拉伯跟印度的植物里面来提炼。
And myrrh oftentimes is used for embalming.
摩药许多时候是用在人死了以后来用在尸体的上面。
So it is often said that gold represents Jesus Christ's kingship.
许多时候黄金代表，许多人说黄金代表耶稣的君王的身份。
Incense is for burning on the altar, and myrrh represents that Jesus symbolizes that Jesus Christ is his deity.
乳香代表的是在祭坛前馨香之气，摩药代表的是主耶稣神圣的身份。
And myrrh is for embalming, symbolizes his coming death, and in another sense, him being the savior of the world.
所以乳香代表是馨香之气，他王的身份；摩药预表的是他会死在这个世上，作为这个他的死来作为一个代偿，来给我们一个新的生命。
So Jesus is the king.
所以耶稣是一个王。
Jesus is God.
耶稣是神。
And Jesus is a savior who died for us.
耶稣也是一个为我们死的一个救主。
If he indeed is all the three above, what do we bring to him?
如果耶稣真正有这样三个身份，我们要把什么礼物给耶稣呢？
How do we worship him?
我们怎么样来敬拜他呢？
Let me close with one story.
用一个故事来结束。
It was written by an author called James McKenna.
是一个作者叫做 James McKenna 所写的。
He mentioned a man named Urbel, a very famous person around 2200 BC.
在公元前2200年左右，有一个很有名的人叫做 Urbel.
Urbel worshipped two gods.
Urbel 是敬拜两个神。
One is the god of death.
一个是死亡之神。
And the other one is the god of fertility.
另外一个是生育之神。
One day the temple priest tell Urbel to bring his young son and his wife to come to the temple.
有一天，这个祭司叫 Urbel 带他的太太跟小孩来到这个庙。
And he was asked to sacrifice his son.
这个祭司对他的要求是说，他要牺牲他自己的儿子。
If he does as they told him, then he will receive good crop and so on.
如果他真的这样做的话，祭司跟他说，那个民众就明年就会丰收。
So Abel, you know, followed what the priest told him, took his wife and his son to the temple.
那 Abel 就按照这个祭司给他的命令，把他的太太跟小孩带到庙里面去。
After the sacrifice of his son,
把儿子奉献。
Then the priest announced that one of the fathers will receive a special gift.
这个祭司呢就会说，你们这个中间许多的父亲，其中一个会拿到一个特别的礼物。
And you can imagine that many fathers brought their son and perhaps their wives to come to the temple.
那许多父亲就把这个太太小孩带到这个庙里面来。
And then the priest said, one of you will receive a special gift.
那这个祭司就说，你们中间其中一个会领受到一份特别的礼物。
And the gift is that one man will be selected to stay with a new temple prostitute for 1 week.
那这个礼物呢，就是说你们中间有一个男人会跟庙里面的一个妓女要过一个礼拜。
And Abel's wife noticed that Abel's eyes was brightened.
那 Abel 的太太呢，就看到这个 Abel 呢，眼睛就亮起来。
And he was launching himself forward in anticipation.
然后身体就往前倾，很期望得到这份礼物。
And finally, when the priest called his name, he quickly went out.
那果然这个祭司把 Abel 这告诉大家是说，这个是 Abel 被选上了。他就马上跳起来往前走。
The wife, needless to say, was very upset.
那这个太太当然是非常的伤心，非常的难过。
And the wife said,
那这个太太就说，
If he worship a different God, he will be a different man.
如果他敬拜另外一个神，他就是另外一个人了。
If he worship a different God, he will be a different man.
如果他敬拜另外一个神，他就会变成一个人，另外一个人。
I'm not sure whether this story is real, historical.
我不晓得这个故事是真的，是真正有发生的，我们不知道。
But the wife's comment indicates that whoever we worship will affect us as a person.
但是这个太太这个最后的这一句话，确实是再次的提醒我们，我们敬拜的对象会影响我们。
We all come to worship Jesus Christ.
我们每个人来到这里，一起敬拜主耶稣基督。
What kind of person are we?
这个代表我们是谁呢？
Or if we flip the question backwards,
或者是我们把这个问题反过来问，
We can self-examine what kind of person we are.
我们也可以先来省察我们是怎么样的人。
He said a reflection of the God we worship.
来思考我们所敬拜的神是怎么样伟大的一位神。
Or do we come just worship him superficially without genuine worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
还是我们只是很肤浅的来到神面，来到这里，没有真正的把神当作这个王中之王，这个神中之神。
Let us pray.
我们一起来祷告。
Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth.
亲爱的主，我们感谢你，主耶稣基督来到这个世界上面。
It is for that event that we celebrate Christmas.
这是为了纪念主耶稣这样的降生，我们来庆祝圣诞节。
But help us not to celebrate Christmas just superficially.
帮助我们不要只是肤浅的来庆祝圣诞节。
Help us to celebrate Christmas from within our hearts.
帮助我们从我们的心里面来庆祝耶稣的降生，庆祝圣诞节。
That we will give our best to Jesus Christ.
我们愿意把我们最好的带到主耶稣面前来。
We pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us naturally as well as supernaturally.
我们请求圣灵透过自然的现象来带领我们。我们也请求圣灵带着用超自然的现象来引领我们。
May you receive all the glory and honor in our lives.
愿主愿我们把我们可以带到你面前的，愿你得到所有的荣耀跟尊贵。
We pray in Jesus' name.
我们奉主耶稣基督宝贵的名，
Amen.
祷告， Amen.